This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, I'm Oliver Condy, the editor of BBC Music Magazine, and welcome to the BBC Music Podcast. You can buy a copy of the magazine at your local newsagents or download our app to your iPad, Kindle Fire or Android tablet. And for the latest music news and more, head to our website at classical-music.com. In this week's podcast, reviews editor Rebecca Franks joins me in the studio to talk about the August issue's recording of the month, a disc of American choral music featuring composers Aaron Copland, Randall Thompson, Samuel Barber and Leonard Bernstein, performed on the Hyperion label by Polyphony under the director Stephen Layton. So to kick things off, let's hear an extract from Randall Thompson's Alleluia. I think what strikes me immediately about this is the luminous quality of the singing. I mean, aside from the beauty of the music, I mean, this is sort of the creme de la creme of young voices, isn't it, really?
It does. It really, and they really capture the mood of this piece perfectly. And there's kind of, I suppose, almost a wash of that beautiful choral sound, but there's a very strong core to it as well, which I think is probably true of all the singing here. There's a real purity, but it's never thin. It's always very a rich sound.
And although the acoustic is quite rich and sonorous, and perhaps a little bit too much for me, I have to say. It does bring together the harmonies in a beautiful meld, I have to say.
Yes, and I think even if they didn't have that sort of generous acoustic, I think this singing is of such quality that it would stand on its own. And I mean, obviously, you're using it because you're always aware of the acoustic, but these are very fine singers who have the breath control and the sort of understanding of the phrasing to make it work.
Yes, and as you said, the acoustic allows them to, in a way, luxuriate. And I think this is music to luxuriate in. And it's fascinating, actually, that this piece of music that was written in 1940 very much sounds like the kind of music American composers and British composers are sort of writing today, the sort of the predecessors of people like Eric Whitaker.
Absolutely. It's sort of, because he sets this one word, Alleluia, gets repeated over and over. So it's sort of almost like minimalism many years before the fact, actually. It's a very huge, it's a very popular piece of choral music. I think apparently one of the best-selling choral scores in North America.
That's sort of representative of that 20th century choral scene in American universities very much.
And it really makes the ideal opener, actually, for this disc. And there's another piece by Randall Thompson which closes the disc, appropriately enough, called Farewell. And then between, we get the other three composers.
What I admire about this recording is that we do kick off with, I mean, if you do sing in choirs, you will know the Randall Thompson, but you'll also particularly know the Barbara Arnus Day, arranged from the orchestral version of a movement from his string quartet. It's a stunning version, and, you know, it's very rare that arrangements of orchestral works work for choir. I mean, there are so many of them, bits of Mahler and, you know, and bits of Wagner that have been arranged for choir, and Elgar. But I think this is very much the sort of the top of the bunch. Tuning is absolutely impeccable, isn't it? I mean, it really is, and it's so difficult to get it absolutely right in this piece of music.
And also the tension that they, and the intensity they sort of keep in those lines as that's building and building. It's marked molto espressivo, this piece, I think, and they really get that kind of, as I say, intensity of the expression. It's very impressive singing.
Just when you think there isn't more to come, they bring more.
I don't know where they get the sort of energy from to do that, but this is a really stunning performance. You might think, you know this piece, you've heard it 10 gazillion times, but this is fantastic.
I mean, it's hair-raising at the beginning, in fact, when you have that single note and then you have that first chord, that seventh chord that comes in is spine-tingling. I mean, it generally is on all recordings of the Agnus Dei or the Adagio, whichever version you hear, but here especially so.
When I was listening, it was one of those moments where you just really actually stop in your tracks and just have to stop everything you're doing at the same time just to really to get to the end of the piece. It's fantastic stuff, I thought.
And we've also got Bernstein's Missa Brevis. What did you think of this piece of music?
Well, this complete contrast to the Agnus Dei, the Barber. Not so many recordings of this piece by any means, and somehow it's a very different style of choral writing, much more instrumental in a way and full of dance rhythms and the percussion that we get and a solo countertenor. So I really enjoyed it. And it makes a good contrast.
Well, bits of his mass in there, bits of sort of medieval plain chant, bit of sort of 20th century writing in the style of people like Randall Thompson. This is a real mishmash of 20th century American styles that Bernstein has sort of drawn together. A bit of film in there as well.
It is, but somehow it does sound like Bernstein. It doesn't really sound like anybody else. I think we're going to hear an extract now from the Gloria.
Thank you.
I think that extract really begs the question, why didn't Bernstein write any more choral music? It's wonderful stuff, really.
It is, actually. I mean, that's kind of the interesting bits about this programme, is that choral music occupied quite a different place in each of their sort of whole outputs for each composer. Barber actually was a very fine baritone and wrote lots of songs and choral works, and we get some other ones by him here on the disc as well. Bernstein didn't write very much at all, and neither did Copland, didn't really either. And actually, the Copland that we get here is very early. And in fact, he himself said that, because there were student exercises written while he was having lessons with Nadia Boulanger, and he said, while they have a certain curiosity value, the style is not yet really mine. I mean, that was his own opinion, and perhaps people aren't always the best judge of their own works, because I think these are interesting pieces to hear. But
and they absolutely are, but you really get a sense that he's trying to impress Nadia Boulanger, really. You know, there's lots of sort of bits of Poulenc in there, even sort of flecks of Langlet, and I think obviously this isn't Copland on the Appalachian Trail. This is very much Copland, you know, in the 5th arrondissement, drinking his wine, eating his baguettes.
Yes, yeah. How about we listen to an extract from the four motets, in fact, Sing Ye Praises to Our King.
Sing ye.
Immaculate text as well. I mean, you don't really have to follow the text to hear what they're singing about. I mean, it's very impressive and immaculate part singing, beautiful solo singing. I mean, it couldn't really be better, could it?
It couldn't. And it's such a contrast to, again, showing off the range of their sort of abilities, such much livelier, lighter, chirpier. And as you say, it's all there. I think this really is just a testament to the quality of Polyphony and Stephen Layton's work with them on the text and bringing that across.
So a very imaginative programme and definitely one to look out for. So that brings us to the end of our discussion of the August issues recording of the month. Join us next month when we'll be talking about the September issues disc of the month. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this BBC Music Magazine podcast, which was produced in our Bristol studio by Jack Fletcher. For more of our podcasts, visit our website at classical-music.com or simply head to iTunes.